What happens if the UK leaves the EU? From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Some in Britain want out of the European Union, what that could mean for American business. Big airlines flying high, while a cheap airline finds gold in nickels and dimes. British Prime Minister David Cameron makes a high-stakes speech on the European Union tomorrow. American business and political leaders will be listening as he talks about potential new terms for Britain's EU membership. He could unleash a process that would lead to Britain exiting the EU, which would have impact around the globe. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Cameron will say that he wants to loosen some of the ties that bind Britain to its European partners. He wants to regain control over some of the many powers that have been handed over to the EU, like the power to limit the working week in Britain. Cameron may also offer a referendum on whether Britain should pull out of the Union altogether. Former Foreign Secretary David Miliband says this is hazardous.
By saying we're going to hold a gun to the head of all of our European partners, and if we don't get what we want, we're stomping out, which seems to be the Prime Minister's approach, then you are painting yourself and, more important, your country into a corner, and that is very dangerous for Britain.
The UK sells around half its exports free of tariffs into Europe. Cameron is coming under enormous pressure to tone down tomorrow's speech. Big business and even President Obama have urged him to be careful. But opinion polls suggest that, given the chance, a majority of British people would vote to quit the EU. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. The S&P down 0.1%. Dow Jones up just a notch at 13,653. CNBC reports Microsoft is in talks to invest as much as $3 billion in the buyout of computer maker Dell. Dell's stock up of almost 2%. Microsoft down 0.6%. Asian trading was mixed after the Bank of Japan announced major moves, but said they won't start until next year.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Delta is out today with an earnings report showing lower profit because of increased expenses and Hurricane Sandy disruptions. But overall, it's not a bad time to be a big airline. Jim Burris reports on why and what it means for us flyers.
There's an old saying on Wall Street: airlines are stocks to rent, not own. For airline analyst Von Kordel of Ionosphere Capital, it's
the philosophy I've been following for almost the last 20 years.
That's because airlines have long struggled to make money. It's a fickle industry. But Kordel says 5 years of mergers and consolidation have created a lean, mean, money-making machine offering fewer but fuller flights at a profit.
For the network airlines, they've collectively shrunk their capacity in the U.S. domestic market by over 50% since 2000.
Look for more of that same strategy in 2013, says Rick Sini, CEO of FairCompare.com.
I expect them to continue to probably cut back seats, which means it's probably be a good environment for them to charge higher prices.
So Sini says you can forget the days of basking in the arm room of that empty middle seat. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
A seat on Spirit Airlines will be dirt cheap, at least before numerous fees are piled on. The South Florida-based cheapo carrier is both loved and hated by travelers. This week, Marketplace Morning Report host Jeremy Hobson is in Miami. He spoke to Spirit CEO Ben Baldanza about the business of bargain basement travel.
Now, your airline has been called the dollar store of the sky, and I wonder if you agree with that assessment.
Well, I think we might have been the ones who tried to coin that, because we've tried to use that with people to help understand. You know, people have tended to look at airlines as a very homogenous thing, of every airline's the same, and we said, no, that's not really true. And people seem to understand that in retail. People get that, you know, there's a difference between a Nordstrom and a Target and a Walmart and a dollar store, and so we've tried to use that retail analogy. Sometimes we say we're the McDonald's as well. But what we're trying to do is offer the lowest possible price to consumers. And that means that we do things a little bit differently than a lot of other airlines.
you charge a lot of fees for things that most airlines include with the price of their ticket, which allows you then to charge less for the ticket, right?
Well, yeah, and we think of it as creating more optionality for customers, because what we do is we strip out all the things that can be a decision point for the customer, like whether you take bags or not, or if you want to pick where you sit on the plane or not, or whether you're going to eat on the plane or not.
Do you think that model, though, has gone too far? I mean, charging people for overhead bins now.
If you ask, have we gone too far in terms of the unbundling, meaning services or things that used to be considered part of a core fare, then we probably are almost at the limit of that, because it's hard to imagine that, you know, our fares pretty much include the right to get on the plane and get off at the other end, you know, and have a, you know, a safe and on-time flight, and that's about it. And so there's not really much else we could take out of that, we think.
One of the reasons we're down here in Florida this week is to focus on the new American dream in 2013. And I'm wondering, do you think that travel, that leisure travel for everyone, is still part of the American dream?
Well, you know, travel is a fundamental right, I think, in our country. And so I think finding ways for people to travel more often and more affordably is really important. And it gives people more options in their life. In South Florida, especially, as you know, there are large communities of people who have affinities outside of the United States. And,
right,
you know, in Latin America, Caribbean, so on, other parts of the world. And so by being able to connect those markets with much lower fares than if traditionally been charged, it allows grandparents to see their kids more often, people to come see the doctor they want to see more often, things like that. And that's good too.
Ben Baldanza is the CEO of Spirit Airlines. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot. It's a love marketplace.
Jeremy reports from Miami all week, talking to top leaders and ordinary folks about the new American dream. We'll have more stories from there on The Morning Report and at marketplace.org. And finally, you'd think fashion star Jason Wu would be unstoppable. Michelle Obama again chose him to design her inaugural gown. Last night's red dress getting strong reviews, but in the designer's native Taiwan, a court is ruling against him. Wu wanted to trademark his new label Miss Wu, but the ruling says that name is too generic. I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.